Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Here's a question to get us all on the same score sheet. Are you ready? Pete and Judy Johnson are credited with bringing Trivia Night fundraisers to St. Louis in the early 1990s. What country did they import the idea from? Is it A, Ireland, B, Australia, C, Canada, or D, New Zealand? Now, if you're an STL Trivia Night veteran, there's a good chance you know the answer. If you aspire to such status, you're in luck because St. Louis has scads of Trivia Nights coming. And that is something that is unique to St. Louis. Here to deliver the answer to our opening trivia question and share more background on St. Louis's relationship with trivia, we have Dan Dillon, longtime trivia MC and author of The Ultimate St. Louis Trivia Quiz. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We also have another guest with insights into how St. Louis's bar trivia scene has grown, especially post-pandemic, both as a former host and current player, and that's Andy Barrett. Andy, welcome to you as well.
Hi, thank you.
So, Dan, do you have an answer for my trivia question? What country did Pete and Judy Johnson import?
You're not going to like this.
Why not?
I have an answer and a correction. You said the early 90s. It was actually the early 80s
when
the Johnsons brought it back from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least that's the legend, yes.
Okay. So before we get to some of the backstory more about that, what does it take to put a trivia night together? So is there some of that correction often involved?
Well, if you're talking about a fundraising trivia night as opposed to a, you know, bar or pub trivia, It takes a good hall, a good MC, good questions, and a crave case of White Castles.
Oh, okay. And White Castle is quite popular here in St. Louis.
Well, you know, in most of these trivia nights, people will bring all sorts of food, you know, fondue dishes and, you know, sandwiches and things that they brought from home. But it's a party is what it is. But you got to have great questions and you got to have someone who has a good voice. And generally, if you've done it before, people are aware of your record, so they will come back the next year, you know. So a lot of these places will have it year after year after year.
Is there a learning curve involved specifically with how to participate in a fundraiser trivia night?
No. I was working on a book on how to hold a trivia night. I haven't gotten to that yet, but I think someone ought to put together a book about it because there are a lot of pitfalls for doing it. And there are a lot of ways to make money that people aren't aware of.
Right.
But you got to know who's coming. You got to know if you're writing the questions, you know how to, you've got to know how to phrase the questions, make sure that you've got the right amount of difficult, medium, and easy questions to please everybody.
Right. Not discourage people.
No,
right,
you don't want. I mean, I hosted trivia nights for about 20 years. And the last thing I wanted was someone to leave at the end of the night saying, well, that was a waste of time.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Even if you're a novice trivia player, you want to at least be able to know some of the questions and not feel like, you know, you just went through a college exam.
Right. So, Andy, you hosted bar trivia at a bar in the Shaw neighborhood called the Gallery Pub on Thurman for 7 years.
Yes.
How much of what Dan has been talking about also applies to how bar trivia is done?
Absolutely. I always kind of looked at it as you're a host of a party, and you want to make sure everybody's having a good time, whether they're winning or losing. We would do silly things like there'd be a last place prize we would call the Rudy Award, where you've tried so hard, but your score was so low, so you still got a prize. So you could have people trying to go to the top and people trying to go for the bottom because you had to turn in every answer. But mm-hmm. I think a thing that I always did is after every game, I would go to every single table and I would greet them and talk to them and, you know, check in with them, see how they were having fun. And that brings back regulars all the time, because when they feel like they know you, they want to come back and have a good time with you.
Mm. Are there other things that were part of the style of hosting you had, things that maybe set you apart from others?
I definitely had a call and response kind of attitude where I would always interact with the crowd. People would be kind of interactive with me while I'm up on the table, and we'd have call and response, and we'd have silly questions where if you didn't know an answer, there'd be a silly phrase that everybody could turn in, and it was a social to make everybody have a drink, and everybody would cheers to that. Or we would do spirit awards where you would find out what your team was at and they would all cheer, and just things that made everybody feel really interactive in the experience.
Mm-hmm. Dan, do you employ some of the same tactics?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I agree with Andy that it's gotta be a party atmosphere. You gotta, and it's not difficult to do when you got that many people and alcohol involved.
Right.
But
right.
You gotta have it low key. You gotta have fun. I have plenty of jokes. Sometimes that don't go over, but I try and make it fun and light, and make the night go by quicker by, you know, reading the questions quickly.
Oh, okay.
You've got some of these trivia nights that will last until 10:30 or 11 at night, and people don't want to be sitting there. You know, it's quarter to midnight, and you're still mm-hmm. asking questions. So you got to make the pacing quick.
Yeah. On that pacing note, Andy, is that challenging, especially if you are dealing with a group of people who are, they're eating and they're drinking, they're also socializing. Are there any tricks that you have used in order to maintain the proper pace?
Yeah, for me, the style was every question kind of had a easiness or difficulty level. So at the end of every round would be one of the easiest questions. So people would turn in their answers quickly and I could accumulate points quicker mm-hmm. to get around. I would play a song for every question. And when that song ends, you had to have your answer in. So
okay.
It kind of gave a timetable that people knew, but I would control if it was a shorter song or a longer song, things I would plan out before I even showed up to mm-hmm. trivia that night with a playlist.
There's definitely a choreography that goes on, especially with these large, what I call them, church hall trivias. I always made it a point when, if you had 10 rounds, mm-hmm. round five was always a music round, because that's when people are upbeat, singing with the song, and they go into the break. There's usually a break in the middle of the evening. They go into the break, singing the music, and so you definitely have to plan out the choreography of the night, mm-hmm. and like Andy said, plot out the more difficult questions and the more easy questions, so everybody feels good throughout the evening.
Yeah. Can you give an example of what an easy question might be?
Oh, geez, sure.
And I'm going to come to you, Andy, as well, so if you can be thinking about that.
Let's see. Here's one that's very appropriate for St. Louis, and I've got a bunch of St. Louis questions here. Mm. Provel cheese. It's the cheese that you either hate or love. What three cheeses make up Provel?
Oh, this is an easy question.
I know mozzarella's in it.
That it is not.
Oh, mozzarella's part of it.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Swiss?
Swiss is one.
Emmentaler?
No.
Provolone?
Oh.
Provolone,
oh, right.
Swiss, cheddar.
Oh.
Oh, there's cheddar in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I should have known that.
Yeah, we have all learned something. And that's an easy question.
I'm sorry. All right, if you're a sports nut, and there are a lot of sports people that come to these, this would probably be an easy one. Who was the Rams' primary starting quarterback from 2002 through 2009?
I've got this one. It's Kurt Warner.
It was not Kurt Warner.
Oh, am I too far behind?
Okay, it was.
This was post Kurt Warner.
Oh no,
Bulger.
Mark Bulger, very good, Elaine.
Okay, no, I'm I kind of cheated. Our executive producer.
Did you read my answer?
I can't read that far. So this is the point in the trivia night that I will be eating more and maybe drinking a little more as well. So an easy question for like the bar trivia crowd.
It would be more pop culture in the sense of like an easy TV show that you could come up with. You know, the first thing I can just think off of my head is like... Matthew Perry, who recently passed, was on what popular NBC television show?
Okay.
You know, things like that.
Or yeah.
A popular one I would do for friends is that they had the first ever aired lesbian wedding on television.
Oh, okay.
And so things like that, that I would often give a little clues of like how he was giving you time frames.
Mm-hmm.
If you can figure out that time frame, you can maybe find out the answer a little bit easier.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's like something else that I employed when I was asking a relatively difficult question, other than the ones that I just read. If it's a really difficult question, I will give them four choices. So at least they can narrow it down
and they have
a 25% shot of being right.
Okay. So it is like an exam in that sense. You just eliminate those things that don't make sense.
Except you don't use a pencil. You use a pen. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
More permanent.
Yeah.
So if you're looking out at the crowd, and you mentioned hall is one of the key ingredients. So the space really makes a difference. Dan, if you're looking out at all these people, can you tell sometimes when this is a question that is stumping?
Oh, yeah.
So in those situations, how do you provide a little more guidance?
Well, I mean, sometimes if I get the feedback that, oh, my God, nobody knows this, I will give them a clue. You know, and just get them closer to it. You know, I'll say it happened in the 21st century. Does that help you out a little bit? But again, the trick is not to ever have too many of those questions where everybody is scratching their head.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have at least somebody at the table knowing the answer.
Right. Andy, we introduced you as someone who's also a player.
Mm-hmm.
From that perspective, I mean, has that informed how you host? Because you know what it feels like to be on the other end?
Yeah, absolutely. I started out playing and got to know the host at my local trivia, and that's how I ended up hosting my own. And it does kind of help you figure out what people are looking for when they're playing. You learn the dynamic of the environment you're in, because I was in a bar that I was in every single week in the mm-hmm. South City area. I know the dynamic of the crowd that's coming in. I have a lot of regulars coming in. So you kind of start to learn what they know, what you know, and kind of the age range you're guiding for of mm-hmm. who and what kind of questions you're asking.
Right. So we are in St. Louis, and before I moved here, I had never participated in a fundraiser trivia night. So we had talked a little bit earlier, or promised perhaps, that we would get into a little bit of the history. So Dan, tell us a little bit about that backstory of how St. Louis has come to have such a unique relationship with trivia nights.
Well, it did start with the couple you talked about that came back from Australia that had experienced this and said, you know, this might be a great way to raise funds for our elementary school. There's also there was a local history teacher in town that had a radio show on another station, mm-hmm. a trivia show every Sunday night. His name was Dave Strauss, very popular mm-hmm. in the 70s and 80s. And the very first trivia night that I went to was run by him.
Oh.
So I think he was just as instrumental in starting this.
Mm-hmm.
But it started out as, here is a way where we can get people together that will raise funds for the school. You don't have to sell wrapping paper or candy or greeting cards or whatever. It's a party. You get people together. It's a competition. And you can earn, you know, you can earn a boatload of money
mm-hmm.
for a non-for-profit or school.
Right.
Yeah.
So for people who've lived elsewhere in the country, they may have noticed that trivia here is different. And our producer, Aula Kuziz, talked with Tom Bradley at a trivia game on Tuesday. And he shared that there wasn't the same kind of game in Chicago where he used to live.
I just think it's a lot of fun, and it's a, you know, it's just a fun evening to get together with friends and have a cocktail and you know, use your brain. This is something relatively new to me. I mean, I've been in St. Louis now for almost 10 years, but I came from Chicago. We don't do trivia night was not a big thing, you know, unless it was a big event of some sort. But here you can, like, we've done charity events. We've done, you know, just as a group getting together and sharing, you know, fun and fellowship. So, yeah, I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, certainly, trivia exists in other places in the country. But what is it that you think makes St. Louis trivia different and unique, Andy?
Well, I think part of it is just finding a place that younger people I know want to go and go hang out with friends, but they want to do something as well. And, you know, as that person said that was interviewed, sometimes it's fun to use your brain and figure it out. And the bar that I work at hosted at for many years is just a small neighborhood bar. So people in that neighborhood just love to come over and hang out. Mm-hmm. And it's such a fun environment and atmosphere. And you just get to have a great time with your friends while doing a fun activity that doesn't have to dictate the entire evening as well. I think that's important.
And the neighborhood bar, I think, is something where, you know, you can walk there maybe and walk home. Mm-hmm. Everybody is safe. Yep. And you've enjoyed something with people who are in your community. So, I mean, trivia then became something that is popular in the way that I experienced it first was as a fundraising tool. And Dan, you mentioned that it can bring in some big bucks, particularly for churches, charities, nonprofits. What made it so appealing? And what do you think accounts for its staying power now, Dan?
Because basically it's sort of a inexpensive way to make money for your school or non-for-profit. Really, it doesn't take a lot of planning. It does take planning, but you can get ready for it in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. You've already got a mailing list. You know, if you're in a non-for-profit, you've got all the members. You've got the parents at an elementary school. So you already have the audience. Generally, you already have the room because it's a cafeteria or a church hall or, you know, a lot of places will donate their room for a non-for-profit. It's just low overhead way of having a great time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes it so appealing. Now, to answer your question about why isn't it popular other places, I've been asked that question many, many times. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is about St. Louis. I mean, is it the Midwest, you know, we're all, you know, friendly people here.
Right.
We like to have a good time and we're low key and everything. I don't know. I have talked to people from other cities who you talk about, you know, fundraising trivia nights, and they look at you like you're crazy. Mm-hmm. But I've always thought that this is, an idea that's waiting to be discovered in other places.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very quick break, and then Andy, it looked like you had something to say. We'll make sure to come back to that. But we also want you to join this conversation. Do you have a trivia question maybe that haunts you, or maybe you've got...
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.
A favorite place to play trivia in the region. Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at STL On Air or email us at talk@stlpr.org. We will be back very shortly. Don't go anywhere. This is St. Louis On the Air.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
On St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about the special place of trivia in St. Louis culture. We're speaking with Andy Barrett, who is a former bar trivia host and now regular player in South City. Dan Dillon is a longtime trivia MC in St. Louis and author of the book, The Ultimate St. Louis Trivia Quiz. Andy, before the break, it looked like you wanted to say something about trivia culture in St. Louis.
Yeah, I think kind of the, just piggybacking off of Dan, the Midwest kind of culture, St. Louis is very much a get-to-know-your-neighbor kind of environment, and I see that all the time at the bar that I would host at, is not only are you creating an environment where you get to know your regulars and everybody interact with one another and create a community within themselves. I used to always refer to my bar as my Tuesday night family, because you get to know the staff, you get to know the owners, you get to know everybody that is a part of it, not just the trivia players. Mm-hmm. It's really a whole community that comes together, which I think is really unique and special.
Mm-hmm. And is there something that the pandemic maybe did to create a desire for, you know, in people to get together to do something like this?
Absolutely. I saw a lot of growth right before the pandemic, and then obviously we hit a part where nobody was out doing anything, and slowly people started coming out, and now it's back to full strength, if not even more, where there's just a want and need to go and interact with people and find something fun to do on a weekday, usually, to be with people that you care about and have fun times doing it together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The COVID did put a hitch in the works for the church hall fundraising trivia, but people continue to do trivia during COVID.
Yes.
They had online trivia events every week. I know of a couple people who did it, you know, and it was almost to the point where when everybody got back together, they didn't want to change.
Oh.
They wanted to keep it, you know, so they could, you know, just flip on their computer and do it from their house.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people were happy when the COVID blew over and they could get back together again.
Mm-hmm. So we did hear from people who are big-time trivia fans. Trusted Lab wrote us on Instagram, "I love impossible trivia at the Crack Fox. Googs is a great host." We also heard from Emma, who wrote to us that she likes St. Louis media history-themed trivia that's hosted by the Media History Foundation. Now, these responses about hosts, about subjects, how has that helped you maybe learn about a subject or a topic that you did not know very well, Andy?
Oh, absolutely. I find that when I would write games, a lot of times we had a theme that kind of ran throughout the whole game. So I would come up with what I knew off the top of my head, but then I would have to dig deeper and find more information on different types of trivia and questions. And I found myself learning all sorts of different things as well. And you go up to talk to somebody and they're going to tell you something more specific about a question you asked. So you're always learning as a host. You're always learning when you're writing these kind of questions.
Mm-hmm. Dan, you have written a whole book about St. Louis.
206 pages.
And so for this book, I mean, you have been hosting, emceeing these trivia nights for quite some time. Is this book the culmination of questions that you were collecting over time? And what was the inspiration for it?
Very much so. I had collected a lot of what a lot of people would call useless information, but some real good history and trivia about St. Louis. And I thought, why not compile it into a trivia book, just a general trivia book? There are, you know, probably dozens of books on Cardinal trivia or, mm-hmm. you know, blues trivia. I said general trivia book for St. Louis. And I had, you know, several hundred questions ready to go, but I did have to flesh it out quite a bit to come up with 100 topics of 10 questions each.
Yeah. So Fantasy, I hope I've gotten that right, wrote to us on Instagram as well and said, I love my team of regulars at Impossible Trivia. I've met some nerds who are now among my closest friends by just wandering into the right bar. We also have Karen, who is calling from Soulard. Karen, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I enjoy the trivia nights that I attend with the Union Hall. Nobody gives a better trivia night than the guys at the Carpenter Hall or A. Philip Randolph Institute. Mm-hmm. They have a competition for the best table, who has the most fun decorated table. And it's just the questions are always about, you know, general information in music and movies, but then there'll also be questions about the labor movement. And so you always learn a lot. And then there's a lot of intergenerational fun, you know. People in my age group know music from the 60s. We know nothing about rap. And each group kind of interacts with each other. So it's always a lot of fun, a lot of door prizes. And it's just a great time. And you have a really diverse group. And people get to know each other from different communities. I think the trivia nights in St. Louis are just great.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I'll have to make sure that I go back and take some notes on what you have shared. We also heard from Christine in Sunset Hills, and she called wanting to know how to find trivia nights. Is there a list that people can check out? Dan, you're nodding.
There is. Mm-hmm. It is a website called trivianights.net. It's put together by a young lady named Peggy Dolter, and she's been doing it for years and years and years. She will list your trivia night and will not charge you for it, but she will have all the main trivia nights that are going on in St. Louis. And on the website, I think she's got list trivia nights. She's listed trivia nights all the way up till November. So that's where I would go if I was looking for a good trivia night.
Mm-hmm. We heard in response to a call for engagement on Reddit, Gurkha Bob wrote to us, quote, I have followed the same trivia, bar trivia host, Jevin Werner, around for years. He started at Lemons, then went to Mad Art Gallery, then to Copper Pig, and now he hosts Smart in the Park Trivia Tuesday nights at Rockwell Beer Gardens. He picks fun themes for the categories. So clearly, hosts have their own sort of following. Is that something that you experienced, Andy, that people would come because they'd heard about you from others?
Yeah, absolutely. I would find that people would come to me and say, oh, we went to a bar and did trivia the other night, but it wasn't like you, so we came back. And I was told when I first started hosting to just be prepared for people to recognize you when you go out and about and come up to you and talk to you about trivia. Mm-hmm. So definitely, yeah, you kind of become a person that's recognizable for a lot of people.
Right, right. Has that happened with you, Dan?
I'm not so recognizable, but I do have the same people coming to my Tuesday night trivia. I've got one or two, sometimes three teams that show up every week. And like Andy said, you become a family, and it's something I look forward to because it's always a good vibe. They're used to the way I handle the trivia and the pacing of everything. Always have a lot of music, and the food's not bad either.
The food, I think, that must make a really big difference.
Yes.
Now, questions are obviously part of what you do. And our producer, Aula Kuziz, also had an opportunity to talk with somebody about questions. And Becca McElprange at a South City Bar trivia on Tuesday night, she's someone who is new to trivia. And Becca says she enjoys the game, but wishes the questions catered to younger people.
I really like the pop culture sections of the trivia questions. So, like, anything to do with, like, acting or music. I also really like literature questions. I really struggle with the sports section. And I also feel like trivia teams here are kind of more biased towards older folks in the audience. I feel like people that are younger have a big disadvantage because we weren't alive for a lot of the trivia questions that are being asked.
So Dan, in about 30 seconds, what would you say to that?
I have a problem sometimes with younger people in my trivia because, you know, they say, I wasn't born yet. Mm-hmm. And of course, I say, well, I wasn't born during the Civil War, but I know who won. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much history and pop culture that you would think by now you'd know. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had some questions where people didn't even know who Jack Benny was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you know who Jack Benny was.
Yes,
all right. But you know, the excuse is I was too young. But I think you got to prepare yourself by learning a little bit about things that happened before you were born.
Mm-hmm. And last 30 seconds here.
I'd be the complete opposite. I go towards a millennial Gen Z crowd. I have older people come in and be like, I don't know. And I'm like, it's on right now. It's happening right now. How do you not know? So I am the opposite, but I cater more towards that crowd. That's who's coming in.
Right.
And that's what my mindset is who's the environment that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Andy Barrett is a former bar trivia host and now regular player in South City. And Dan Dillon is a longtime trivia MC and author of the book, The Ultimate St. Louis Trivia Quiz. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Today's segment was produced by Aula Kuziz.
With audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.